Greetings, it's Dr. Burnett, publishing pusher, the all-in-body place of encouragement, cultural empowerment. Weekly, she'll engage conversations with entrepreneurs and creatives. And these insightful interviews are designed to help us build our businesses, respective brands, ourselves, and to hopefully propel us to that next level of greatness. Big Boss. So with no time to waste time, it's officially go time.
Hi, everyone. Dr. Annette, publishing pusher. Another beautiful week here for our podcast. I'm excited, as always, that we have Kendra Little with us. Hi, Kendra.
Hi, Dr. Annette. Hi.
Good to have you with us. So as we get started here this evening, I like for the listeners, the audience, to get to know you, the person, before we start talking about you, the author. I know that many times we wind up having a passion for something. But before we maybe flowed into that passion, we were doing other things. So what was your life like before the passion came?
Well, thank you, Dr. Annette, for this great opportunity. I appreciate you inviting me to your listening audience and to the people that we're going to touch. Before the passion, I was a mom of one daughter, and I went to the military. And I, from graduating school, I went into the military. I did 5 years in our great United States Army. And I enjoyed it. And then I had a little baby girl. And I decided that it would be best that I raise my daughter home with my family and around family. So we came home. And from coming home, I'm a military person. I like order. I like step. I went right into law enforcement, right? So I went into law enforcement. So I was doing, I worked at a prison. I worked at the sheriff's office. I was doing all things law enforcement. And I got married and had my twin girls. And I went to school during that time as well for criminal justice. And when I got married and had my twin girls, that's when the passion started to develop. Little did I know, but that's when it developed. I was married, had my twin girls, loved being a mom. I stayed at home with them for a couple of years, and then I was able to go back to work. So I was in the church, Sunday school teacher. I was on the choir. I stayed at home. I'm with my mom and around my family. I am a family-oriented person. All things family, good or bad, and all in between. And I love being around my friends. My favorite thing to do, Dr. Annette, is to laugh. I love to laugh. So I don't think I have that big of a personality. So everyone around me always have these huge personalities, and they make me laugh. I believe in, number one, I believe in God, our Lord and Savior. I believe in taking care of my mom and loving my mom because she raised me as a single mom. And I get my strength from her, and I get overcoming life, seeing her as the model. And then when I was a wife, I was a good wife. And I believe in raising my children and just being involved and making sure life is so much better than before. And all of that comes through prayer, and comes through faith, and it comes through laughter and having good friends and just enjoying life and never letting any of the bad or the evil get to us. Take a licking and keep on ticking, so to speak. So that's a little bit about me.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So as I'm listening to you talk about the journey, that part of your journey, I just first want to say thank you for your military service, because I'm from a military family. My husband was in the Air Force for 22 years. And I know the sacrifices that have to be made sometimes when you are in the military. So I fully understand you saying, I wanted to raise my daughter staying in the military. Somebody else would probably be raising your daughter many times. And so that was a major sacrifice, even stepping away from the military, I am sure. But thank you so much for that service. Now, while you were in the military, what was your job in the military? Just curious.
I was 71 Lima administrative specialist. So I did all things admin, helped the soldiers with pay, helped the soldiers process their paperwork. I did the mailroom, Foxtrot, and servicing the military in administrative role. And I still do that today in administrative role.
So how, I was going to say, how did you transition from administration to being in the prison system? How was that transition?
Wow. So I had a good friend tell me when I came home, of course, I was out looking for a job. I thought I was going into the medical field, Dr. Annette. But once I got into the medical setting, I was like, this is really not for me. So then I had a good friend tell me, hey, why don't you try going to corrections or going to law enforcement? It's really not that bad or whatever, you know. And I said, well, okay. And then, of course, my background with the military, my background playing sports, my background in just being a physical, athletic person and having the order and believing in rank and structure and all that, I fit right in at the prison. And I did 10 years there, and I got a lot of accolades because I was able to do a lot of things that from the military background, because I've always believed in doing a good job. I always believed in being on time, because you know we have to be on time. I've always believed in coming to work and not calling out and learning my job to the fullest and going by the rules and doing what it is necessary to make sure that the job was getting done. So I had a good experience in the prison system, and that is a whole new world, whole different world, a whole different world. So yeah, I did it off someone's recommendation. And then from my good friend's recommendation, I have 10 years with the state of Georgia in the prison system. Yes.
Nice. Very, very, very good. See, this is good how those skills can transition. You're thinking, oh, I'm in the military and this, this, and this, and don't realize that those skills will flow right over into something else that you are doing. So I've never been a guard, but I have been a chaplain in the prison for many years until COVID hit, and then they changed a lot of things. So I do understand that structural dynamic there. Now, in your own family, does that structural dynamic kind of hit? Because you know, sometimes people take the military into their homes.
Dr. Annette, it is so true. You're right on target. My oldest daughter would say it. My husband at the time would say it. My family members would say it as well, because sometimes it's hard to separate the authority with coming home and relaxing and treating everybody for being a daughter or being a husband or being a mom or sister. You're not in that authority role of telling someone what to do, because I've always been in a role of telling someone what to do, in particular, the males or males. And that did kind of, I had to learn to, once I came home, I was Kendra, not the corrections officer, not the military sergeant, none of that. I was none of that. I had to be mom and Kendra. My oldest daughter tells me that I was strict on her or whatever the case may be. But I tell her, it's okay. Forgive me for if I did something that wasn't helpful in our relationship as mother and daughter, because I just wanted the best for her and still want the best for her. But sometimes I didn't take that that authority off when maybe I should have, Dr. Annette.
I like to tell people when it comes to that dynamic, mm-hmm. we only know what we know based on what we know. And until you learn that there's another way to do something, that's what you know. And but I think it's great though that you did have that conversation with your daughter through time, you know, to say, hey, I did the best that I could. Mm-hmm. And that's all you can do is your best. How old is your daughter now?
She is 28 years old, Dr. Nett, and she made me a G mama during COVID. And when I tell you all that people say about being a Mimi is so true. Things change. He can't do any wrong. He's my son, my boy that I never had because I have three girls. Yes.
I got you. I fully understand that. Them grands do tend to get a whole lot of, mm-hmm. and sometimes the kids be like, well, mama, what about me? that's sweet. That's just the way it goes. You know, I love that that you said that you are family focused, family oriented. And I think that's very important. And someone listening in will understand that although we wear different hats, being able to rear your family and engage is something I'm sure you can attest to that you wouldn't have wanted anybody else to do it for you.
So true, doesn't it? And I had that opportunity. My mom said, I will raise her. I will take care of her. You can go overseas. I will watch, but it would not, for me, that wasn't the right thing for me to do. And sometimes I do think back about that decision, but I don't regret the decision. I wanted it to be fully in my daughter's life. I wanted to be mama, and I am mama. That's what she calls me. And at that time, I wouldn't have had it any other way. But I did have the opportunity, but I said, no, I'll come home to raise mama.
That's beautiful. Now, When I think about your Kendra Little autism mom, what does that mean? Explain that to us.
Oh, such great questions, Dr. Annette. It means that I am a mom that have children that are on the autism spectrum. That at one time in my life, that I wouldn't even say the word. I had a lot of stigmas in my head. I had a lot of shame in my head, not about the children, just about the word autism. And so when you say Kendra, autism mom, it gives me strength. It gives me empowerment. It gives me happiness. It gives me joy. Saying that I am autism mom gives me, let me be so proud of all of the things that me and my family we've overcome. And it just means the world to me now that I can say that I'm Kendra, autism mom.
I love that.
Thank you.
Kendra Little autism mom. You know, I like to always say when people are talking about these different things, I say other abilities. Mm-hmm. It's other abilities. We may not understand it. It's just an other way of thinking. It's an other way of learning. It's an other way of engaging. And I have a friend who actually has twin boys, that are on the spectrum. And I know the power of parents investing in their children with these other abilities. And that when they were younger, did the doctors give you like, they're not going to be able to do this and this and this and this. And they just painted this negative picture for you. How did you maneuver with the things that they were saying to you?
Yes, that is so true, Dr. Annette. Our professionals sometimes just go by how they're trained. I believe in our professionals. but I also know that our professionals can be wrong. And of course, with God, all things are possible. And the professional did tell me that they wouldn't be able to do, show sympathy or empathy. Or one professional even told me that at best, my children may have a 7-year-old intellect. So with that coming out of all the testing and all of the paperwork, and then someone adding the layer of all the things that your child will not be able to do, it can send you into sadness. It can send you into anger. It can send you into hopelessness. It can actually change your life if you're not a prayerful person, if you don't have someone in your corner helping you and telling you differently. Now, see, I had my oldest, so all I knew was that they're going to do what she did. So I didn't know what I didn't know. So in the beginning, before they even got their diagnosis, I knew that they were delayed. So I went into action because, okay, delayed does not mean denied. It just means delayed.
Yes.
So I made sure that I was training them when they were younger. I made sure that I was getting some learning materials. And at that time, Dr. Nett, there was only one income coming in. So I made so many different sacrifices because I knew that this would be life-changing. This is their foundational years. So they're going to have to know how to do certain things. And the things that they couldn't do, Dr. Annette, I manipulated it. I made them do it with the help of handover methods. I never knew about a handover method. If I would show them clapping, I would show them walking, I would show them different things, eating. And if they couldn't do it, I would put my hand over their hand, or I would make their hands clap. I would physically clap their hands together, or I would physically take their ankles because they could not alternate their feet walking up and down the stairs. I would physically get down on my knees and teach them how to walk up the stairs and alternate their legs to walk. So I just knew that failing was not going to be an option. I knew that whatever my oldest did, y'all were going to do too, right? Y'all are going to do it. Y'all going to walk. You're going to talk. You're going to speak. You're going to learn. You're going to sit up. You're going to do the things that you need to do to make sure that your own life is thriving, or you're living up to the best ability of yourself. So with the help of family, with the help of God and prayers, and just not knowing and just making sure that, hey, we're going to overcome this, I went to work, Dr. Annette, and even after the diagnosis of them having a official diagnosis of autism, I even worked harder. I would pull all-nighters. I studied everything that I could. I've heard of autism, but I didn't really know what it meant. And then when the doctor tells you there's no cure, that's another weighted load of bricks that hits you, right? And I was like, what does she mean by no cure? I said, she must don't know. She just don't know who I am. She doesn't know that I'm going to teach my children everything that they need to know. Now, the truth of the matter is there is no cure scientifically, right? Mm-hmm. Scientifically. But the cure is them living up to their fullest potential, whatever that looks
like. Good.
Whatever that looks like.
I love that. As I listen to you, I hear my friend talking about things that they were doing. And I remember their sons, I think they were maybe like 14 or 16 or something, and how they were then. And they just had their 30th birthday in July. And just to see how they have, how they are maturing, mm-hmm. and everything that they said couldn't happen. They are now in college. They finished their associate's degrees. They live together off campus, you know, and it's, they have to have their routines, of course, because that's just their mind movement. Mm-hmm. But it's just amazing to see where when the doctor says no, God says yes. That just means you've got to figure out the tools that you need for your children. And I believe that's what you tell us a little bit about your, you have a coaching program where you actually help other parents or mothers.
That's right, Dr. Annette. I do, because what I found out is that when I went into the school system or whenever I went to take my girls to the salon, it was like I was the elephant in the room. And I was like, what are you talking about? And they would tell me, and I say this humbly, but they would tell me, you're different. You treat your children, your children are different. You have taught them well. I was like, and I was so confused, Dr. Annette, doesn't all moms do this? Because I didn't know any different. I didn't know any different. I really didn't. And they was like, no. Some moms don't show up for IEP meetings. Mm-hmm. The girls, beautician said, and these are her exact words, she said, Kendra, you just don't know. She said, all moms aren't equal. And I was like, what are you talking about? She said, the work that you put in your children, all moms do not do that. So that weighed on me, Dr. Annette. I did not want to be the only mom coming into a school system with children that are on the autism spectrum, special needs, whatever label or no label, right? I didn't want to be that. That doesn't do me any good, because my children have to communicate with your child. I want your child to be able to communicate with my child, or go on field trips, or go to Six Flags, or go out to eat. So what good would it just be my children and your children or not? So that's how the coaching and the passion and everything came about, Dr. Annette. I want to help us. There's no judgment. I know everybody starts from a different place, right? And if you're starting from a place of discouragement or no hope, no support, the coaching program, that's why I'm here. I want to walk along with you in this journey to help our children. Because sometimes, Dr. Annette, I have to be honest, we as moms make it about ourselves. And it's truly, truly not about ourselves. It's not about what I thought the word autism meant. It's not about someone else, stigmas or society, the school system. It's not about none of that. It's really, truly about our children living the best life that God has given them. Whether that means if you're nonverbal, you have a speaking device, you have equipment to speak, even if you have to have conversation cards. It's really about our children having a smile on their face, laughing and enjoying life to the fullest. So that's what the coaching program is about. I want to bring in more moms like myself that didn't know anything about it, or may have been told something other than that our children couldn't learn, our children wouldn't be able to have an intellect past 7 years old. I want to be able to help other families know that however we thrive, and let's put some things together. Let's put some tools, strategy, some resources, some love, some prayers. Let's put it all together and help relieve some of the stress that comes within our family. Because sometimes we perish because of lack of knowledge.
That is so true. Knowledge is empowering. And I'm sure when you're sharing this knowledge, like I've never had a child with autism, although I know a few people who do have children with autism. And it seems like we just had this conversation myself and someone else the other day, and it says, does it seem like there's more and more children all of a sudden having autism? And what do you think it's from? You know, honestly, I don't know. It could be so many different things. It could be in so many different ways. But the fact is, it does seem to be more and more. How is the awareness for those people who don't have children with autism? How are they that you connect with? How are other people engaging and asking questions and trying to figure out how they can be a part of this embracing, celebrating, and giving opportunity to flourish that you speak about?
Thank you, Dr. Annette. This is what we need more of. We need more of people like you that doesn't have a child that's on the autism spectrum, but you're involved, you're learning, you're evolving, you're asking the right questions. You are inviting the children over, you're learning about what their needs are, what the do's and the don'ts and the myths and the stigmas. You're learning about it. We need this more. This is what the real awareness is about for the neurotypical families or moms or children or grandparents, whomever, that does not have children on the spectrum, to learn and to engage. And most definitely, family members to learn and engage our children that are on the autism spectrum. And it's just as simple as to ask a question. It's that simple. Ask the questions. But I have to say, we as moms are so sometimes overprotective and guarded, and we don't want anyone to, we have this built up borders in our minds. But sometimes people simply, they just don't know. Mm-hmm. And if they don't know, it's up to us to educate them, to tell them that's a myth or that's the truth. Or my child wore headphones because the sensory input is overwhelming. The noise canceling headphones keep some of that noise out so that they can self-regulate. So questions and answers, and sometimes just giving a hug and say, hey, like you all do, I see you, I support you, even if you do not have a child or even have a family member or even know anyone on the spectrum. Joining in the autism community and helping us get the awareness out, and the awareness could be as simple as just educating, mm-hmm. just saying what autism is. It's a big help. And just as you were saying, we really don't know the reason why so many other people are now on the autism spectrum. But from my POV point of view, is that a lot of times in the past, we kept it to ourselves, right? Mm. We kept this little secret for whatever reason. Could have been passed down. It could have been the medical system. There's a lot of things that contributes to it. And of course, we know our diet. Things have changed over time in our diet and the foods that we eat. So mm-hmm. it's really a combination of things. But even in the combination of things, and everyone, a lot of people being diagnosed now, is really about just respecting people for who they are. And if they want, and if they're on the spectrum or not neurotypical or neurodivergent, we just respect them for who they are. And we move forward and we learn and we grow.
That's good. That's real good. Now, you know, this is the Dr. Annette Publishing Pusher podcast. So we have to talk about your books. I believe you are the author of two books. One of affirmations and one of prayers. So let's talk about the book of affirmations, affirmations for extraordinary moms with extraordinary kids. Tell us about that one.
Well, thank you, Dr. Nett, and you're absolutely right. I am the author of two books, and the extraordinary prayers and extraordinary affirmations. And the affirmations derive from just what we spoke about earlier. When I got the diagnosis and when professionals were telling me everything that my children would not be able to do. So the book is derived from experiences, it's derived from hurt, it's derived from pain, but it's also derived from overcoming. And it's also derived from hope. And it's also derived from God putting it in my heart to let other moms know that this too shall pass. And if we speak and believe in the things that the world or science or doctors or whomever says is a negative, and we use it as an affirmation for the positive of our children, such as there's a myth that children that's on the autism spectrum cannot show feelings or emotions or be empathetic. I put affirmations in this book to say the opposite of not showing empathy or not showing emotion. I put in the book, my child can show empathy, will show emotion. My child will connect with me and connect with others. So the book is filled with positive affirmations that are day-to-day, and the things that we need as mothers and what we want as mothers. We want our children to connect with us. All mothers want that. And so even with children that are on the autism spectrum, we want the same thing. And even if it doesn't show up today, doesn't mean it won't show up tomorrow.
I like that. That's right. Never, I hear you say, don't give up hope. In your book of affirmations, I believe what you want to do is empower those parents, and especially the mothers that you work with, reminding them of their own strength, that that they will make it through, that they have the endurance, they have the ability, just as their children will overcome, they will overcome. And the reality is everybody has challenges. Different levels, different magnitudes of challenges. So I guess you would say being an autism mom is working through a challenge.
It is. It is. Absolutely right. You summed it up so well, Dr. Nett. You're absolutely right. The affirmation book is to empower parents to know that they will get through the challenges. Do not listen to the naysayers, do not listen to society stigmas or what we consider the societal norm. No, we don't all have to be normal or what society says is normal. Yes. But what we do want connections with our children. We want our children to enjoy nature. We do want our children to have a healthy eating life. We do want our children to have social outings and have social skills and connect with their siblings and things of that nature. Those are the things we want universal, right? So with that being, that's what's all in the affirmation book, that our children can connect with us. Our children can connect with their siblings. They can enjoy nature. They can interact with others and have friends, as well as any other child would. And you're right, Dr. Nett, we all have to work through different challenges in life. And for we as autism mom, or being an autism mom, it's really no different. I know that now, but I didn't know that then. So that's why I bridged the gap to help other moms to know it now. They can take the shortcut now, Dr. Nett.
Because you've already been there. So that's a wonderful thing. You take your experiences and then you share them with others. Hey, you don't have to go through this. Listen to what I'm saying. And tell us a bit about your extraordinary prayers for extraordinary moms.
Yes. And this is dear to my heart. All of it's dear to my heart, but the prayers are most definitely dear to my heart because that's what I leaned on. I cried many a tears, but I also prayed while I cried. And I believe God I believe God. Now, I have to say, during that time of believing God, my faith was being built. And the entire time he was there, even though I felt as though he wasn't, but I knew he was hearing my prayers. I just had to go through it. I just had to go through the process so that I can now lean back and give other minds what's needed. I didn't see the bigger picture at the time because, of course, God just gives us in part. He couldn't tell me the full vision. He couldn't, because I would have denied it. So with that being said, the prayers are from my heart, Dr. Matt. And even in the prayer book, I have a prayer for moms that may have to put their children in assisted living. I spoke with a mom and I did not judge. And she was having to make a decision. But even in that decision, God is in the assisted living as well. So there's prayers for assisted living. There's prayers for connecting with the teachers. There's prayers for society. There's prayers for our children to have their own presence, be know who they are. There's prayers for independent living, such as your friends, boys, twins, sons, or whatever. So the book is full of prayers for real life application, for real life, the things that I've gone through and that we may go through in real life. So yes, extraordinary prayers for extraordinary moms. And believe me, and I know you know this to be true, God is a prayer answering God. He answers all prayers.
Yes, 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 yes. This is good. So this, let me repeat this, everybody. We have a book of affirmations for extraordinary moms with extraordinary kids. And that book is designed to empower and encourage you mothers, and not just mothers. Listen, I need to read it too, okay? Because as I am connecting with other people, I can refer them to that book. I can tell them something that's in that book and hold that thing close to me so I will have some tools when I'm connecting with someone else. Autism Mom wants to empower you. Whether you have a child with autism or not, it does not matter. To understand the otherness of these children is important. And as Christians, it is important that we love all of God's children. And we have to learn how to do that sometimes because, you know, some topics, some have been taboo for so long. But Kendra Little is bringing it to the forefront. So you have the affirmations for extraordinary moms with extraordinary kids, and you have the extraordinary prayers for extraordinary moms. Listen, y'all, we can't pray enough, okay? We cannot pray enough. So we need to get the prayers for sure and pray those prayers over all of the mothers that we don't even know that are dealing with these children. But let me tell you, this has been a really, really great time with Kendra. I hope that as you listen tonight, you really peeked and pulled some nuggets from this, I want to call it a chat, this chat on tonight, because Kendra has a wealth of information that she has honed in those skills, strategies that she has created to help families, to help others to walk through this life with their child who has autism. Kendra, share with us a final empowering thought, and then tell everybody how they can get your books and how they can connect with you.
Thank you, Dr. Annette, again, and thank you for your listening audience. Thank you for this opportunity. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. My parting words are this, is this. Mom, know that your child is a special gift from God. Yes, there will be challenges. Yes, you're going to need some help and assistance, and you're going to need a support group, a support system. All of that is yes. You're going to need your prayers. You're going to need, if you go to church, you go to church, and you're just going to need a community of people, whether it's your sister or whether it's your niece, or nephew, uncle, cousin, grandma, whomever. You're going to need a community of people to help. But even in the help, you will grow stronger as we teach each one. As you're learning, you're able to teach others about your child and about autism, because it's just not about our children, mom. It's about our entire community. It's about our entire family. So I want you to be encouraged. I know that it can be overwhelming, especially when you first get the diagnosis and have to fill out the paperwork and deal with the school system and deal with the doctors and the therapists, all of that good stuff. I know it can be overwhelming. But reach out. Reach out for help. Even if you don't reach out to me, reach out to someone so that you do not have to deal with autism alone. And I'm not talking about dealing with your child. I'm talking about the totality of it. Because there are a lot of things that go on that sometimes we just keep to ourselves. I know, mom. I know. But you have to have someone, you have to have a community that speaks your same language, so that you can take care of yourself. So you take care of yourself, then you can take care of your child and the rest of the family. So you can reach me on all the social medias. I'm Kendra Autism Mom Extraordinaire on all the social medias. Facebook is Kendra Little, and then it's Autism Mom Extraordinaire. And then on Instagram and on TikTok and LinkedIn, I am Autism Mom Extraordinaire, or you can just look up Kendra Little. My website is www.autism-mom.co. Reach out to me. And if you're listening on this podcast, if you're listening tonight, just mention Dr. Annette podcast, and we will set up a free consultation, and we will go from there. And if I just need to be a listening ear, I'll listen. And if we just need to pray, we'll pray. And if we need to put some strategies and resources together, we can do that as well. Again, thank you, Dr.
Thank you, Kendra Little, Autism Mom Extraordinaire. Listen, everybody, thank you so much for joining us on this particular chat. We really appreciate you. Remember, I am Dr. Annette West. I am the publishing pusher. If you're ready to get that book done, I am your go-to. Reach out to me. You can reach out to me at Jatne Publishing, JATNEPublishing.org, Jatne Publishing. I hope to catch you on the next show. Thank you again, Autism Mom.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to Dr. Annette's Chat Podcast, brought to you by Jatne Publishing. Be sure to stay tuned in for future conversations and engagements. Check out the website, jatnepublishing.org, and subscribe to this show on your preferred podcast app. Shout out to 95 for the production. Be blessed and be a blessing. Peace.